About Pastor John McElroy coming to speak. Pastor John McElroy will be coming to speak next week. And then the week after, I'll have Pastor Gabriel from India coming over. And so he'll be sharing what's happening in India. But this morning, with the 4 minutes I've got, Praise God. I started something in Revelations last week about his coming back. And I got up to chapter 6. And I want to talk about the horsemen this morning, briefly, very briefly. In fact, we're only going to talk about one of them. Is that cool? Can I have 10 minutes? Only 10. Don't say as much as I need. I'll be here all afternoon. Here, 20, 20, 25, 25, going. Going once. $30, $30. It's titled, my message this morning is the Four Horsemen. The Four Horsemen of the Seven Seals. The Four Horsemen. I'm going to talk about the first horseman, and I won't get through him. But we'll touch it. We'll touch it. My wife keeps telling me, don't put your hands in your pockets. It doesn't look right. But praise the Lord. I really believe that signs of the times we're living in, we're going to see an explosion of things happening like we've never seen before. We're going to see suddenlies occurring like we've never seen before. The world's on a precipice. It's rocking. China sending missiles over to Taiwan. Palestinians firing rockets at Israel. Israel firing rockets back to Palestine. Tehran on the precipice of anything. We're living in uncertain times. Who understands that? But praise God, he's all in control. Absolute control. Turn with me to Revelation 6, 1 and 8. We're going to read that. 6, 1 and 8. Revelation 6, 1 and 8. I spoke about the cloud last week. It says this. I'll put my glasses on. Now I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. I saw then when the Lamb opened one of the seals. And I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. Verse 2, and I looked and behold, a white horse. A white horse. There is four horses. You got the white, you got the red, you got the black, and you got the pale. You got the white, you got the red, you got the black, and you got the pale. That word pale, literally, it's a type of shadowy green, to be honest. It is not grey. It is more like green. In fact, one of the commentaries says it's more like the colour of a corpse. It's got a shade of green to it. Anyway, a white horse, and he who sat had a bow, and a crown was given to him. He had a bow. And a crown was given to him. I'm going to read that again. He had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. Present, future tense. Present, future tense. The Lamb opened one of the seals. Who's the Lamb? Jesus opened the seal. And I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. He wants us to see. He wants us to know what's happening. He wants the church to know, the believers to know what's happening. And I looked and behold, a white horse. Cut to the chase. A lot of years, the church honestly believed that was Jesus. It is not Jesus. It's deception. And you can link Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. All them scriptures, and it'll tell you, the first thing Jesus says about his return is, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. He had a bow. First of all, he was given a crown. He had a bow and he was given a crown. He had a bow. A bow is something that is used for warfare. It is actually an offensive weapon. It's offensive. It's not a defense. It's an offensive weapon. He has this bow. He was given a crown. This crown is not a royal crown. This crown is a victor's crown. It's like when you run a race and you get, in the old days, you'd get this sheath around your head. It's a victor's crown. It is not a royal crown at all. So he was given something for achieving something. He had a victory. Amen. So this deception, this thing, this horseman on a white horse is a deceiver. You notice he doesn't have a bow. He doesn't have arrows. But he was conquering and he would conquer. He was conquering and he would conquer. Present and past. Now I'm really rushing this because I just want to get a few points across. We'll go a little bit more detail later. If he was conquering, that means he was already in a warfare. And he was going to conquer. Future tense. Why did he not have arrows with his bow? Why didn't he have arrows with his bow? He wasn't Jesus. Jesus has a sword. Jesus doesn't carry a bow. Revelation tells me he carries a sword. So this is a long-range weapon, and the lack of the arrows may suggest that he was already in a fight of deception with people called the body of Christ. Turn with me quickly to Psalm 11 verse 2. Psalm 11 verse 2. It says this, for look, the wicked bent their bow and they made ready their arrow and the string, that they should sickly at the upright at heart. Deception in the body, and that's where he goes to the body. Deception in the body is already rife. We're not waiting for deception to happen. It's already here. Does anyone agree with me with that? Deception's already happening. Friends, I'll give you an instance of deception that is rife in the body of Christ. When you don't think you have to forgive, you're deceived. When you hold a grudge, and you are speaking ill of someone, you're deceived. Because he will require of me. Because I'll be accountable for every idle word that I speak. My forgiveness. Father, forgive them. I forgive them as you have forgiven me. forgiveness. To say that you can forgive someone and yet talk to them behind their back is deception. Psalm 64 verse 2 says this, "Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, for the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bent their bows to shoot their arrows." So my words of arrogance, my words of complaint, my words of division, my words of pain, my words of hurt against someone are like arrows. And I really believe, I don't really believe it. I'm just imagining it. The reason he's got no arrows is because the church is shooting them all for themselves. They're shooting each other. Where there's strifes and divisions and envy, are you yet not yet carnal, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3 and 1. But what God wants from us is to walk in the things of the Spirit. Jeremiah 9 and 8 says this, "Their tongue is like an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lies in wait." So we can be throwing the arrows, throwing the spears, shooting the arrows. Every time you refuse to walk in the Spirit, forgive, to love, to honor, to uplift, to exhort someone, we are. This is the deception the church is. A lot of people in the church think they can play church and not be the church. But there will be an accountability in the end for all that. God is coming back for a people without spot or wrinkle. He wants them blood washed. He wants them water washed. He wants them to be disciples in these days that they can carry an anointing of God to touch and change the world. You will never read in the Bible where a devil fights a devil. You will never read where Satan has a problem with devils. But the church. And so what God is requiring of us is to make sure that we do not be deceived in this hour, and we can be deceived by listening to our own lies. One of the greatest deceivers you and I carry about every day is your heart. My heart. Doesn't the Bible say my heart is deceptively above all things? My heart can deceive me because I will believe my own lies. It's very quiet in this Pentecostal church. But it's the truth. That's why I must always keep a short account with Jesus every day of my life. And if I confess my sin, it is as far as the east to the west. And I believe we're living in such days, we must keep short account. I can't afford to have offense with a brother. I can't afford to smile at his face and talk behind his back. That is deception. That is this whole thing Jesus says, do not be deceived. 24, 3 and 5. Do not be deceived. And deception comes around us because what we do, we entertain the lie, ignore the truth. And what happens is my heart gets hard. And so all of a sudden, no longer in a relationship, but I'm in a religion. Ephesians 6:16 says this, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you are to quench every fiery dart or arrow of the wicked one." The bow suggests a counterfeit faith. It's a counterfeit gospel. It's a false gospel. The false gospel say, Jesus is over here, Jesus is doing that, Jesus is this. Many will come in his name. Do not go there, he says. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 11 and 12 says this, for God will send them strong delusion. I must be about reading my Bible. There is so many gospels out there. But there is only one true Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God will send them strong. The white horseman carries a bow, a weapon of war. The apostle John makes no mention of arrows or a quiver because it is a first thing of deception. Turn with me quickly to Matthew 24. I'm going to finish on this. Can't stay here all day. And he said on the Mount of Olives, verse 3. I'm sure my ears are getting bigger. And he said on the Mount of Olives, the disciple came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be and what will the sign of your coming of the end of the age. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you. Take heed that no one deceive you. Take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name saying I am the Christ and will deceive many. And then you will hear of wars and rumors of wars and that you will see that you are not troubled. That's the red horse. And all the things that must come to pass, the end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom and there will be famines and pestilence. That's the black horse. And earthquakes in various places and all these are the beginnings of sorrows and they will deliver you up in tribulation and kill you. That's the pale horse. Now go to this one. Verse 11, and many false prophets will arise in the days and deceive many, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Because of what will abound? What will abound? Lack of restraint will abound. Where does it abound? The love of many will wax cold. Lawlessness will abound in me if I allow it. And it will affect my love life with Jesus. The love of many will wax cold. It is a slow process. A candle just doesn't harden immediately. It takes time. Once it's been alight, the wax takes time to harden again. But if you do not keep that candle lit, it will harden again. Amen? Lawlessness will abound. If you do not, and I do not come under the restraint of the Holy Ghost, under the leading and the guidance, And the harnessing of the Lord. Hear me. The harnessing of the Lord. So he turns me where he wants to turn me. He will lead me and train me how he wants to train me. As long as he keeps them reins, I will come under the lordship of him and my candle will still be lit. But the moment I want to be a free spirit, do my thing, do it my way, think I know better than God, I will become in a place of lawlessness or without restraint of the spirit, and the things of my heart will grow cold. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world and witness of all the nations, and the end will come. Look at verse 10. And then many will be what? Offended, will betray one another and hate one another. Who's that? Many will be offended. Many will be offended. They will hate one another and betray one another. Who's that? The church. I know it's not a pretty gospel, but it's the truth. And a lot of times people look outside the church and say, oh, well, we've got to be careful of that. We've got to be careful of this. I'm telling you what, you better run with people of a similar spirit. There is too many false gospels out there. Quick rich schemes. My Bible says those who want to get riches quickly, they've got holes in their pockets. Money quickly gained puts holes in your pockets. All gospel, other sorts of gospels like,
once saved, always saved. Sorry if I burst your bubble this morning, but just because you say a prayer doesn't save you. A prayer doesn't save you. Believing saves you. He believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth. Amen. The word believe means to rely upon, trust in, adhere to. It does. Superstars say they have a belief. Well, I devils say they believe. Well, I believe. Well, they don't adhere to the gospel. They don't trust in him. And they don't rely upon the truth to set the captive free. Amen. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Turn with me to Luke. No, go to Mark. Mark 13. Same thing as Matthew 24. I like how Mark says this. Verse 9. But watch out for yourself. They will deliver you up to the councils, and you will be beaten. In the synagogues, you will be brought for rulers and kings for my name's sake. But the gospel must be preached first to all nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry, therefore, or premeditate what you will speak. Whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit. Now, brother will betray father his child, then children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. Do you remember when I said last week that you better be leaving a legacy for your kids, an inheritance? And straight away, most of us, our brains go to monetary value. It is not monetary value. It is you leaving a deposit of the things of the Spirit in them that far outweighs any earthly treasure. You leaving a deposit within them that allows them to move and go on in the things of God. When you're gone, they're still going, because he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and some things that have been promised to you might never be fulfilled in your life, if the Lord tarries, in your life. But your children or your children's children will walk in what God has promised you. I must learn to leave a deposit in their life of word, teaching them a prayer life, teaching them what it is to love on Jesus. Teach them what it is not to keep running to me as they get older, running to me, but leaning on Jesus. Get them to understand that he is their source. Amen. So when the day comes, if the Lord's tarried and I go to him, I know my seed, and my seed is carrying on in the things of God. I don't know about you, but that's treasure to me. That's treasure to me. That's treasure to me. You cannot buy that. You cannot gain that with dollars and cents. You cannot gain that with things, with cars and stuff and houses. You cannot gain that. The only thing you can gain, or the only thing you can give to them, is prayer on your knees and speaking the word of faith into their spirit and showing them the right way when things aren't going the right way, showing them to stand. When doing all to stand, you keep standing, confessing and believing. When hell is breaking loose in your household or things aren't going right in the world, you say, don't let it trouble you. Keep your peace. Keep your peace. He's in control. Because they're looking at you all the time, seeing how you're going to react to the situations and circumstances in the world. They're listening all the time. All the time they're listening. Grandchildren listening. Babies are listening all the time. What's coming out of your mouth? Is it life, or is it another arrow hitting someone or piercing someone with negativity or gossip or innuendo? What is coming out of my own mouth?
If you haven't got kids, what inheritance are you leaving? To your brother, to your sister. If you haven't got any natural brothers and sisters, you've got myriads of them in the kingdom of God. What are you leaving? What will I be known as? Who will turn up at my funeral? What will they say at the wake? Thank God he's gone. Or will they sing, for he was a jolly good fellow? Hallelujah. When they turn back and they look and they see you in them. It's amazing. My daughter lives in Canberra. My grandson lives in Canberra. She sends me a video of my grandson. He's left-handed. Praise God. Like his granddad. And he does this. I only know two other people in my house that do this. My mum and me. So when you're concentrating, I lick my lips. Look at that. And if I'm in deep concentration, I do both lips. There was my little shy writing or colouring in with his left hand, or trying to colour in, licking his lips. I said, that's me. His dad goes, where did you get that from? I don't do that. No, but I do. That's me. That's me. When you look at them, they mightn't look like you, but that's me. What am I leaving behind for him? Amen. My other grandchild says this to me. I've read my Bible every day this week, Granddad. I said, really? He says, really? Every day this week I've read my Bible. I said, well done. Well done. I said, what did you get out of it? He said, I don't know. I said, it doesn't matter. I said, it doesn't matter. You form the habit, God will reveal it. See, so too many Christians have got this in their way. I didn't get anything out of that, so they put it away. No, 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 no. Your spirit man's being fed. Every time that word gets opened, your spirit man's receiving something. Hallelujah. And eventually, if the spirit man wants to reveal it to your head, praise God. If he doesn't, praise God. Just keep reading. Just be faithful. Just keep washing yourself with the water of the word. And guess what? It will renew your mind. Amen. Prayer does not renew your mind. The word renews your mind. Hallelujah. Luke 21, 16, 19 says, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and some will be put to death, and you'll be hated for all my name's sake. Not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, I love this verse, by your patience, possess your own soul. What do you mean? Possess your emotions. Possess the way you think. Possess your will. By patience, endurance. Sometimes endurance will cost you a thing called long suffering. Anyone like long suffering? You're crazy if you do. But it's a good thing. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Hear me, it's a fruit of the Spirit. He helps me to be long suffering. So when someone's up on your goat and up your driving you nuts. Anyone ever had anyone drive them nuts? Hey? You know, like them peanuts on the road? Them sort of nuts? Drive you nuts. He will help you to endure with long suffering. He will help you to endure with long suffering. Amen. A lot of times I'd want him to make peanut paste out of them. But he never does. He never does. He changes me. Amen.
The horseman goes out conquering and to conquer. The word conquer means subdue, overcome, prevail, get the victory. His entire purpose is to conquer, to dominate, to overpower and subdue the people on the earth. The white horse and its rider represents deception in the church, not in the world. He's already in the world. Deception in the church. Amen. Turn with me to Romans. I'm going to finish on this. Romans 12, verse 9 to 21. Romans 12. It's in the New Testament. Nine to 21, and I'll read it. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference one to another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil, having regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do you know your goodness and your kindness shown to the enemy, or shown to one that's against you, will put heaps of coals on their heads? And you're not doing that to get vengeance. What it's saying is it will challenge and change the way they think. Because they will not comprehend how one can be so evil and the other one be so good. It will pour heaps of coals on their heads. Amen. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I've titled that, and you sung a song this morning saying that, this is your cross. This is your cross. Hallelujah. And a lot of times, if you're like me, sometimes you want to put the cross down and deal with the situation. Am I the only one that ever thinks like that? I mean, often when I go for my prayer walks, I say, Jesus, just please, let me fix this. And what I mean is like this, I'll give them the two barrels. Jesus says this, love them, honor them, cherish them, pray for them, uphold them. Because everything within me, my natural man, wants to have vengeance. And if I go in that way, what has happened is I've been deceived. I've allowed deception to come in. I've believed the lie. Amen? I've believed the lie. And if you read Romans 1 and 2, it says, who exchanged the truth for the lie. Not a lie, the lie. Who exchanged the truth for the lie. Who's the truth? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if he's the truth, who's the lie? So I've changed my mindset of the truth to a mindset of the lie. And then I will act out of my carnal man in nature. Which produces what? Sin produces death. Amen. And I will walk in a spirit of death. I've now been deceived. So the reason sometimes the bow is empty is because he's already in war. Deception's already on the earth. He is the deceiver. It is not Christ. He comes as a Christ. And Satan, will, the beast, will come as a Christ, as a one that will bring signs and wonders and wondrous things, and he'll want to be worshipped, and he'll want his idol set up in the temple. He'll want all that, so he worships. He's after your worship. He wants your worship. Just like Pharaoh wanted your, just like Nebuchadnezzar wanted the worship, just like Pharaoh wanted to stop the children of Israel getting their worship, he wants your worship. Amen. But if I'm a person that will endure to the end, glory to God, I will be saved. That is the quickest sermon I've ever preached. Except when I was in India. Indonesia. My first sermon in Indonesia, I preached for 7 minutes. That was with the interpreter. 7 minutes. God wants his people to understand we're living in an hour where there is great deception. Great deception. When they're shouting, peace, peace, there will come sudden destruction. Amen. I must be a man and a woman of the word, and I must carry my cross. I must not take vengeance. The most, you know, the most places I see vengeance taken? In the house, between husbands and wives. In the house. Hallelujah. All to be right. And when you get your glory of right and it fades away, what are you left with? One angry spouse. One upset spouse. One spouse that might feel that they've been mistrusted or betrayed. Now you've really got work on your hands. Glory. Am I cutting a bit to the cord this morning? I don't mean it. But it's the truth. The minute your spouse feels they've been hard done by with mistrust and they've felt mistrusted through a lie or whatever that's happened, you might have obedience, but you haven't got submission. You haven't got submission. I can get a dog to be obedient through fear. Doesn't mean it's submitting to me. House. Make sure there's no deception in your house. Train your children in the ways of the Lord. What does that mean? What does it mean to train them? How do I train them? When do I stop training them? You never stop training them. Ever. They can be 40 and you'll still be saying little things to them. You just say it a lot wiser, a lot more different. Amen? My daughter rings me up the other day. She goes, Dad, can you pray for me? Can you pray? I says, yeah. I says, have you prayed? She goes, what? I said, well, have you prayed? She goes, well, not, no. I said, well, I'm not praying until you pray. I'm training her. Mum would say, yes, love, I'll pray for you right now. Oh, shaka tahandaya. Not me. I'll train her.
The white horse speaks of deception. And every gospel says it. The first thing he says is this: do not be deceived. Amen. Do not be deceived. And the sad part about it, the bow is an offensive weapon. And a lot of times that spirit is getting Christians to fire their own arrows. Pain and hurt, rejection. Stop. Stop it. Don't play his game. Whenever you get tempted, read Romans chapter 12. Carry your own cross. And your prayer should be this: Lord, change me. Amen. Change me. Four horses of judgment. We shall be judged for every idle word we speak. Of course, we repent. It's over. But you hold on to that sort of stuff. He will ask the question. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Unforgiveness is a place of deception. Unforgiveness is a place of deception. Hatred is a place of deception. Amen. We sang a song this morning: Lord, I give you my heart and I give you my soul. He wants all of it. He wants the good, the bad, and the plain ugly in your life so he can fix it. Amen. Because obedience is greater than all your sacrifice. But I want to challenge you this morning. What's coming out of my mouth? What is coming out of my mouth? Do I speak to my spouse, or do I speak to my kids as I would want to be spoken to? Because that's what the Bible says. Do I speak to that? Do I speak about them how I would like to be spoken about? What's coming out of my mouth? Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you so much. You encompass us this morning in our worship. And Lord, I ask you, Father, that you would just let this seed fall on good ground to bring change to our lives. I ask in the name of Jesus, Father, hear my prayer. Change me. Change me. Father, help this mouth to be a well of life. Help these words that come out of it be a word of comfort, exhortation, edification. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus, you forgive me of every idle other word that I've spoken. I repent. Help me. Grace me to carry my cross daily, that they may see you, that I might live an inheritance in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Oh, we have some soup, tea, and coffee. Gentlemen, I would love you to help me pack up the chairs, numbers of eights, please. Put them at the back. We have youth this week, so that would be great. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. In Jesus' name.